Hey everybody, Scott Horton here. Ever think maybe your group should hire me to give a speech? Well, maybe you should. I've got a few good ones to choose from, including how to end the war on terror, the case against war with Iran, central banking in war, Uncle Sam and the Arab Spring, the ongoing war on civil liberties, and of course, why everything in the world is Woodrow Wilson's fault. But I'm happy to talk about just about anything else you've ever heard me cover on the show as well. So check out youtube.com/Scott Horton Show for some examples, and email scott@scotthorton.org for more details. See you there. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is the Scott Horton Show. You can find my full interview archive at scotthorton.org. More than 2,700 interviews now going back to 2003. And our last guest on the show today is Andrew Bacevich. He is professor of international relations and history at Boston University, and he's the author of many important books, including Washington Rules, America's Path to Permanent War, The New American Militarism, and American Empire, the Realities and Consequences of U.S. Diplomacy. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, Andrew?
Very fine.
Good. Very happy to have you here. And
thank
so
you.
I want to talk with you about this open letter that you wrote to Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense and some would say architect of America's so-called preemptive attack on Iraq 10 years ago. And basically, the thrust of the letter, I think, is I know you, and we've talked about these ideas in person, and here you had a chance to play out your grand scheme, and it didn't work out so well, and what do you have to say for yourself? Is that basically the a fair assessment of what you've written here in Harper's at harpers.org?
Well, it's a succinct assessment, but I mean, I've been distressed by the fact that we have not had, the country has not had, anything like a thoroughgoing accounting for a war that, in my judgment, at least, was unnecessary and produced catastrophic consequences. The country, much to my distress, I think has sort of moved on and is inclined to forget the war. Most of the senior people in the George W. Bush administration who had a hand in the war have written their memoirs, but none of the memoirs really are worth reading because they're mostly effort at making excuses or pointing the finger at somebody else. I personally think that Dr. Wolfowitz is probably the smartest of the bunch, and were we to get an honest accounting, it would have to come from him. And my letter really was an effort to invite him and in some senses to prod him to give us that accounting. I don't have any expectation that it'll take me up on it, but I think he could help us understand quite a bit about why this debacle occurred and what we might learn from it if he chose to do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, whether or not he answers you, I think the way that you've written this thing, it's surely enlightening for the rest of us, because this has been a standing question all along, really, is why do we even attack Iraq? Because everybody knows that there's 10 reasons for it, but none of them are good enough for an attack, right? Outdoing daddy, or keep the oil off the market, or because that's what Ariel Sharon wants, or this or that. You say, you know, there's some really powerful and bad ideas behind what happened in Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, I don't subscribe to the notion that there is any one explanation. My own sense is that regardless of the issue, that any administration undertakes some a large-scale policy initiative because a consensus has developed in the very senior leadership, among the 10 or 12 or 15 people that really have a vote with the president, it's when that group of people reaches a common position that the result is a policy. So I think different people in the Bush administration wanted that war for somewhat different reasons. That said, I also subscribe to the notion that an overarching reason to which Wolfowitz himself probably subscribed was the expectation that a major military undertaking, a preventive war launched by the United States, if it ended successfully, would basically have rewritten the rules of international politics in ways favorable to us. And that in some senses was the ultimate prize. Alas, the war didn't go as expected, didn't produce the victory that people like Wolfowitz counted on, and we ended up with the mess that was the actual Iraq war. I think that to compare the vast ambitions with the actual consequences of preventive war is to arrive at important truths that we need to learn, and in some senses I think must learn, given all the lives and the treasure that were wasted as a consequence of our decision to invade.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, in this open letter that you've written at Harper's, in Harper's Magazine and now at Harper's.org, and in a previous piece that you did for the New Left Review called Tailors to the Emperor, which is a great title, by the way, about Albert Wohlstetter and all these ideas, Paul Wolfowitz's mentor, and the way that they think and categorize events and set themselves up for these kinds of policy decisions. You focus a lot on intelligence and how, wow, these guys really are the smartest guys at the University of Chicago and that kind of thing. And it occurs to me that in 2002, I was just some regular guy, and I knew a lot of regular guys that knew better. Not just were skeptical of Bush's motives or something like that, but said things like, you do not want to get bogged down in urban warfare in Mesopotamia, of all places. You've got to be insane. And what about the regional players, and what's going to happen to the majority Shiite South and this and that? Regular folks were saying these kinds of things in 2002. And it seems to me like you would have to be a genius to think that you're so smart that you can actually make decisions like this and be able to determine your outcome. Any regular person would know better.
Well, you're making a very important point. I'd probably express it somewhat differently, but There does seem to be a tendency in our politics for some big idea, some novel idea, to appear on the horizon, and suddenly it becomes the flavor of the week. And all of these supposedly smart people subscribe to this idea, and are intent on applying it because they think that this is the idea that is going to solve everybody's problems. And it turns out that the idea is defective or produces unintended consequences. And after a while, the idea is discredited and we go on to the next idea. And this happens again and again in our politics. I think I would cite, let's say, from the Kennedy era when the United States first fell in love with the idea of counterinsurgency and nation building, applied in Vietnam, leading to a catastrophic failure there. In the 1990s, we had Bill Clinton telling us that globalization was the new international order, and everybody was going to get rich and the world was going to become peaceful. That turned out to be not the case. So I think the thing you're pointing to, and it's a puzzle, why do ostensibly smart people have this penchant for falling for big ideas that turn out to be defective? Why don't they have that skepticism that you just attributed to ordinary people relying on their common sense? It's a puzzle, and it's a very interesting puzzle.
Well, I think you kind of explained part of it. I forget which article it was now. Maybe it was the Emperor's Taylor's piece there about, well, I think as Robert Gates called it, looking at war through a soda straw. You describe Albert Wohlstetter, Wolfowitz's mentor's wife's book about Pearl Harbor, how everything was just about how come they weren't paying attention to the right cracked codes and that kind of thing, and not asking the question of how could they not have been looking out for an attack that they had might as well have been deliberately provoking. They leave out the entire context, and it reminded me, in fact, last night while I was reading up on some of this, I had on the Military History Channel on, and it was about the Battle of Fallujah, and they get bogged down talking about the kind of rifles that the Americans and the insurgents in Fallujah are firing, and the size of the rounds and the mortar projectiles, and nobody's pointing out, as Pat Buchanan pointed out in 2004, Fallujah was the high tide of the American Empire. They fought us off with AKs, and we couldn't flatten them completely, and so that was it. It's been downhill ever since.
No, I think that's a good point, that there does seem to be a tendency to examine history in search of interesting but trivial details, and therefore to overlook any larger truths that may be conveyed by these events.
Yeah, well, and with great consequences. You know, I remember Bill Kristol debating with Daniel Ellsberg on Washington Journal on C-SPAN in the morning before the Iraq War. And Daniel Ellsberg just, and he's a very, very polite old gentleman, as you well know, and he just very politely mopped the floor with Bill Kristol, who turned out to actually not know anything about the Middle East or the history of American intervention over there. He didn't know anything about the revolution that led to the Shah's reign in Iran, and I forget which other examples. But he really had no idea what he was talking about, Bill Kristol, mm-hmm. One of the ringleaders of this neocon group.
Yeah, well, I mean, and he is a good example, I think, of the guy who, of the kind of guy who peddles big ideas that he promises are going to be unfailingly successful, and then when that turns out to be wrong, he moves on to the next big idea.
Yeah. Well, now, so because there hasn't really been that accounting that you say we need so badly, do you think that, has Obama completely backed down from Bush's national security strategy of preemptive war?
Not at all. He's just employing different methods. Instead of invading and occupying countries, President Obama has persuaded that missile-firing drones and special operations forces provide a more suitable instrument really to do much of what Bush thought he was going to do. So I think that I think President Obama provides a very good example of somebody who has shied away from confronting what the Iraq War ought to be teaching us.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you talk about how the Wolfstetter Wolfowitz view is that we have to always be over prepared for a surprise attack from our implacable enemies and that kind of thing. And I wonder if maybe that isn't right. I mean, if you're actually a defense intellectual, then, and these are the kinds of questions you have to tackle, our implacable enemies could wipe us off the face of the earth if we weren't over prepared and trying to anticipate everything all the time, right?
Well, they're invested in the proposition that the United States needs to maintain this enormous military establishment. That's how they derive their power and their influence. And so, yes, they have a propensity, I think, to overstate threats. I mean, that's going on right now as we speak with North Korea, in my judgment. This rather pathetic, repressive, backward nation, in the eyes of some people, poses something like an existential threat to the United States, and that's simply false. But it's an idea that's very useful if you're trying to promote an aggressive foreign policy or promote a higher level of defense spending.
Right. Yeah, that's the same old song we keep hearing. That part is true for sure. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I do hope that Dr. Wolfowitz answers you back. I don't know. Maybe he'll have to write it in the Weekly Standard or something. But
right.
Sure would like to.
Thanks very much for having me on the program.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That is Andrew Bacevich. He teaches international relations at Boston University, and he's the author of Washington Rules, The Limits of Power, The New American Militarism, and, The Long War, and I'm leaving off one that I've read, I think, but I'll see it on this here. Anyway, you can find this piece, A Letter to Paul Wolfowitz, at harpers.org.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here, inviting you to check out WallStreetWindow.com. It's a financial blog written by former hedge fund manager Mike Swanson, who's investing in commodities, mining stocks, and European markets. Wall Street Window is unique in that Mike shows people what he's really investing in and updates you when he buys or sells in his main account. Mike thinks his positions are going to go up because of all the money the Federal Reserve is printing to finance the deficit. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. And Mike's got a great new book coming out, so also keep your eye on writermichaelswanson.com for more details. Hey y'all, Scott here. Like I told you before, the Future Freedom Foundation at FFF.org represents the best of the libertarian movement. Led by the fearless Jacob Hornberger, FFF writers James Bovard, Sheldon Richmond, Wendy McElroy, Anthony Gregory, and many more write the op-eds and the books, host the events, and give the speeches that are changing our world for the better. Help support the Future Freedom Foundation. Subscribe to their magazine, The Future of Freedom. Or to contribute, just look for the big red donate button at the top of FFF.org. Peace and freedom. Thank you. Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. CNI stands against America's negative role in the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the war party's relentless push to bomb Iran, and the roles played by twisted Christian Zionism and neocon-engineered Islamophobia in justifying it all. The Council for the National Interest works tirelessly to expose and oppose our government's most destructive policies, but they can't do it without you. Support CNI's push to straighten out America's crooked course. Check out the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org and click Donate under About Us at the top of the page. That's councilforthenationalinterest.org. Man, you need some Liberty stickers for the back of your truck. At LibertyStickers.com, they've got great state hate, like Pearl Harbor was an inside job. The Democrats want your guns. U.S. Army, die for Israel. Police brutality, not just for black people anymore. At government school, why you and your kids are so stupid. Check out these and 1,000 other great ones at LibertyStickers.com. And of course, they'll take care of all your custom printing for your band or your business at TheBumperSticker.com. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.